Legacy Listening, the podcast where purpose meets practice. I'm Dave McIver, CEO and president of Lamp Rynearson, and I'm here to share the stories behind the work and the people building our legacy every day. Today's episode is a celebration of vision, collaboration, and the kind of thoughtful design that doesn't just shape a place, but helps shape a future. It's a story about how purpose-driven engineering can bring bold ideas to life, and how legacy is built one intentional decision at a time. We're spotlighting a project that's been years in the making, Heartwood Preserve, a 500-acre mixed-use development in the heart of Omaha. This isn't just land development, it's a reimagining of what a community can be. And it's now officially an ACEC Nebraska Engineering Excellence Award winner. Joining me today is someone who's been integral to that transformation, our private practice lead, Joe Flaxbeard. Joe, welcome to Legacy Listening.
Thanks, Dave. I'm excited to hop in the studio, talk about this great development and our team's role in this community-changing project.
Good deal. Let's start by painting a picture for our listeners. Heartwood Preserve spans 500 acres, stretching well over a mile from north to south. And now features a vibrant mix of residential neighborhoods, retail hubs, office campuses, greenways, and trails. But before we dive into what it is today, I want to take us back to where it all began. This land was once part of the village of Boystown, a longtime client and partner of Lamp Rynearson, and historically served as a farm used to teach life skills to Boystown residents. How did that legacy, along with our own purpose to create enduring improvements in the communities we serve, shape your perspective from the very start of this project, Joe?
So Boystown has obviously had a significant historical and geographical impact on the Omaha metropolitan area, going back to when Father Flanagan first started the organization. Like you mentioned, Boystown, the village, has been a longtime client of ours. So even before we started developing Heartwood Preserve, the Lamp Rynearson team had been working with the village of Boystown, kind of master planning what it would look like to possibly sell this farm ground for some future development to help Boystown, you know, kind of financially assist in furthering their mission in the future. That exercise with the village of Boystown, helping them through that planning process, that really positioned us to help the new property owners and the development team kind of craft their vision for the development in that area. Heartwood Preserve has been an incredibly unique opportunity to create a dense mixed-use development in really what's the middle of the Omaha metropolitan area. Oftentimes, a development of this scale, you have to look out in, you know, the suburban areas to be able to compile 500 acres together. Or the inverse is, if you want to have a really dense mixed-use development, often you're looking at kind of the urban core of a city, and there's a lot of redevelopment issues and costs associated with that. So this 500 acres being kind of at the centroid of the Omaha Metro was just, again, an incredibly unique opportunity. It's almost like a hole in the donut, if it was, and just kind of a blank canvas for us to create something really cool.
You know, as you walked the site, I know that there were elements that really struck you. You know, they stuck out to you, right? Moments where the history of the land maybe revealed itself. One that stands out to me in particular is that barn that stood prominently on the northwest corner of the site. Having grown up nearby, I really do have fond memories of birthday parties on the farm. I remember climbing to the loft of the barn and getting a sense of what it took to care for both the farm and the animals that were there. Now, sadly, that barn didn't survive a severe storm last summer, but the silo still stands, really a quiet witness to what once was. And when the barn came down, it took more than boards and beams with it. It really took a piece of the site's identity. So how do you honor history when the original touch points have been erased?
That's really cool, Dave, that you have this personal experience with Boystown. I have similar experiences, and I think a lot of people in Omaha do, the more you talk to people. Before I was an engineer at Lamp Rynearson, one of my summer jobs through college was I was a supervisor on the Boystown farm. I had a group of about six or eight, you know, youths there, you know, working over the summer, doing various farm chores and everything. So I've got memories of that barn too, you know, feeding the animals in there, running farmers market out of there. An early memory I have of visiting the site with the Noddle development team was, it was a Saturday morning, we're all crowded in Jay Noddle's Suburban, I think it was, driving through the farm fields. And I do remember walking in this barn and walking up into the loft area and seeing these beautiful cathedral-style trusses. So from the beginning, we thought this is a really neat opportunity. Maybe we can incorporate this structure, a little bit of history in the project. Unfortunately, Omaha experienced some pretty devastating windstorms in July of 2024, and this preserved barn roof was sitting on these big concrete blocks, and straight line winds of like 80 miles per hour knocked it off. So unfortunately, the physical barn roof itself had to be permanently demolished, but we are still working with Applied Underwriters and Holland Basham Architects to put a structure together in the park that has some of those notes from the past. Like you mentioned, luckily the development was able to incorporate some other nods to the site's history. You mentioned the silo at kind of the Dodge Street entrance to the development. Throughout the greenways in the park, you'll see other nods to, there's an old farm windmill, kind of speaking of that agricultural history of the site. One of the things that's kind of most important to me is, you know, Boys Town, not everybody knows, but it is a designated Tree City USA through the Arbor Day Foundation. That kind of reflects their commitment to growing trees, preserving tree canopies. So early on in the development process, we went through a really specific effort of documenting all the existing trees on the property, you know, species, conditions, everything. We did what we could to, where it made sense to preserve mature tree buffers against the existing neighborhoods. We identified species that would be appropriate to transplant throughout other areas of the park. That was a really big effort. And in addition to some of that preservation of the existing trees, Heartwood Preserve and Applied Underwriters, the owner and the developer of the development, they've got this specific mission where they've got a commitment where they want to plant something around 10,000 trees throughout the development. They've even had their employees come out on a Saturday to plant trees for a tree farm on their campus site. So I think, you know, even though that barn structure, going back to the start here, it was a really sad day when that structure got destroyed. But I think about the preservation of the trees and some of that legacy the Boys Town started with, I think those are really important historical things that we've been able to embrace and preserve.
You know, it's a great perspective, and even history that I didn't know, literally having grown up a mile from it for my entire childhood, and being involved and still having friends that are connected in, employed by the village there. Just to hear that perspective about preserving that history, even when, you know, certain circumstances impact one piece, we can still carry through so much more of it. So really, from a technical standpoint, this isn't just a massive project, right? It's a deeply complex one. And the scale alone is impressive, but it's really the layers of coordination, creativity, and engineering precision that really set things apart. There were so many moving parts, from infrastructure and stormwater to phasing, stakeholder alignment. I'd love to hear more about what made this project especially challenging from both that engineering perspective and a stakeholder perspective, and how your team navigated those complexities to bring it all together.
Sure. Yeah, 500-acre mixed-use development, as you can imagine. There were plenty of challenges that rose. I like to rebrand those as opportunities when I can. But I will say probably the initial engineering challenge was, you know, this area was always planned to be a farm. We heard that a lot at the beginning. No one ever thought Boys Town or even the DeMarco family on the south side of the project. You know, those things, these places have always been farms, and nobody really saw a plan for how this area would develop. In fact, for decades, this area was just designated agricultural space in like the Omaha Master Plan. So some of the engineering challenges that came from that, you know, the adjacent infrastructure in the surrounding neighborhoods that never contemplated, you know, a dense mixed-use development. So we had to work through those considerations, especially when it came to stormwater. We want to be good neighbors, making sure we're not sending too many flows offsite, making sure the infrastructure they're connecting into had capacity for us, or if it didn't, having plans to kind of increased capacity for us downstream. Roadway infrastructure was another big one. I mean, we're talking about 500 acres with, you know, single family homes, apartments, offices, restaurants, a lot of, you know, pretty good traffic generators. So working with partners at other engineering firms like HDR and HGM and Associates, you know, we were able to work with them to plan for arterial road improvements to Pacific Street, 144th Street. We worked with HGM as well as stakeholders with Nebraska DOT, City of Omaha, Douglas County, to reconstruct the 150th and Dodge interchange to add a fourth leg to actually get traffic moving through our site since it had always been agriculture. And getting to collaborate with those partners helps get through these challenges, you know, a little more smoother when you can collaborate with everybody. There's a lot of stakeholders in the area too, outside of like your daily drivers through a pretty, you know, busy part of town. You know, Millard North High School's right there, Millard Public Schools, huge stakeholder, a lot of coordination there, making sure that we weren't terribly disruptive to their operation and their students. Village of Boys Town, St. Wenceslaus Church, they had a big church development going on around the same time. Those are all a lot of stakeholders in the area. You know, another challenge, I'd say opportunity, opportunity to coordinate with stakeholders is, like I mentioned before, the Omaha Master Plan never really contemplated something getting developed here. So there was a lot of early collaboration and ongoing collaboration with the City of Omaha regarding master planning and zoning. Like I said before, we really had the blankest of canvases to start with. So collaborating with them, seeing how we can make a really neat development happen and work through those different challenges was just a really special part of the project.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and as a parent that's got a student at that high school, one that's already graduated from there throughout this project, I have become one of those that not only is a big proponent from a business side, but also parent side, being able to have the ease of access in and out of the school property and to see how the stakeholders were incorporated, how Millard Public Schools was involved, and how some of our other stakeholders in the adjacent neighborhoods have all been brought into the conversations and really recognized for needing to be able to work together. And it's been really cool to see and be a part of as well. Now, I know that the team was really intentional about designing this site for more than just vehicles, right? More than just cars and trucks driving through. It's not just about getting from point A to point B. It's really about creating spaces where people can connect and move and experience the community in those meaningful ways, whether it's pedestrian access, trails, green corridors, you talked about all of those trees. There was clearly a focus on building something that serves everyone. Can you talk a little bit about that mindset and how it shaped the decisions that you and the team made throughout the design process?
Sure. I mean, how people move and connect, that was a really major discussion point early on in this development process. We had an opportunity to create some additional street connections that never existed there before, really outside the typical mile line roads like 144th Street, Pacific Street, Dodge Street. One of the big ones we did, we incorporated a new street called Applied Parkway. It kind of served as a north-south spine through the development, all the way from Dodge Street to 144th and Pine. And while moving the vehicles through the development is important, like you brought up, pedestrians is a huge component of this. So a 14-foot wide multi-use trail runs along one side of Applied Parkway to also facilitate that pedestrian bicycle traffic through the development. And then kind of in addition to that, there's a lot of greenways and other trail opportunities outside of those like vehicular pavement zones where, you know, Greenway A kind of running from Dodge to Pacific Street. There's a 10-foot wide trail running that whole way. We're working through plans right now to build a new pedestrian bridge over Pacific Street to connect to the south side of Pacific Street. And as somebody that lives in the neighborhood, I probably run those trails once or twice a week, and I see other people out there already. It just kind of drives home the point that pedestrians care about having a nice place to run, bike, walk, and I can already see people using the trails that we planned and implemented in the area. So that's been pretty special to know that our initial conversations about mobility and how people connect, I'm seeing that in practice now.
That's great. You know, as I'm listening to you reflect on the process, what keeps coming up for me is this idea of designing with heart. We didn't just check boxes. It wasn't just about meeting those technical requirements, but really it's about caring about how the work impacts people, the land, and the future of the community. You're seeing it already when you run into people on the trails. You see it when people are traversing through and stopping at the restaurants and understanding that there's active building going on. It feels like every decision on this project was grounded in intention. Whether it's honoring the site's history, creating space for connection, or thinking long-term about resiliency. That kind of design doesn't just happen. It takes vision, collaboration, and really a deep sense of purpose. Can you share a moment when that heart-centered approach felt especially meaningful or visible to you?
This feels like a really good opportunity for me to celebrate our team on this one. I mean, it's a big project. I'm going to keep going back to 500-acre mixed-use project. This is a big project. We've had a ton of people at Lampert Nearson touch this project, but I always go back and think back to kind of that original core team of engineers that started this project with me. Rob Vanderveen, Caleb Snyder, Randy Kushak, Scott Oswald, that's kind of our design team. And then Joe Eiken, Tyler Clusaw on the construction administration side. I always go back and I've got really fond memories of how early on in the process we collaborated, worked together to solve some pretty complex problems and complex design. Sometimes projects, especially of this scale, they can be really stressful. This project certainly had plenty of those instances, but, you know, I go back to, you know, walking the site with the team, huddling around a table at the office with a big map, sheet of paper, solving problems together, bouncing ideas off each other. Those are really fond memories that probably in hindsight, you know, those challenges, had they not been there, we might not have gotten all those opportunities to work together like that. This part might sound a little nerdy, but, you know, even after stuff got constructed, we've had a lot of fun driving through the site after each phase was complete. You know, driving Applied Parkway or some of the roundabouts we designed, you know, getting to drive through that with, like, Randy and say, hey, Randy, man, you really knocked this roundabout design out of the park. Such a smooth drive. Like, that stuff's kind of fun. Back then when we started this project as a design, you know, as a team, we knew we were working on something big and that could have potentially a really big impact to our community and the metro area at large. And it was really special to me that the whole design team kind of embraced that challenge, and I thought they worked really well together to make it happen.
You know, this site, as it has transitioned from farm field across the street to a full-on development with active construction and active use happening, and being able to see where we started as a design team, as you're highlighting, and where it continues to evolve into its final, its final form, its final completion. It's a site that has led to collaboration internally, but also with partners. It's a site that has allowed us to try out some new technologies, some new opportunities, utilizing site vision and some of these other technologies that are going to drive us into the future. This 500-acre, mixed-use, complex, unique site has been an incredible opportunity for growth and collaboration and expanding our skill set. And so it's really cool to see how that heart connection at the beginning continues to carry through and inspire us to try and do new things across this project. Maybe it feels like Heartwood has become more than just a project. It's a model. It's a model for what thoughtful, community-driven development can look like when engineering, design, and purpose align. It really sets a precedent for how we can honor the character of a place while still moving it forward. And it demonstrates that when we lead with intention, we can create something that stands the test of time. In your mind, Joe, what does Heartwood represent for future projects, both within our firm and across the industry?
Well, Dave, I really wish I could bank on getting another opportunity at a 500-acre mixed-use development in my career, but those don't really, you know, those opportunities don't grow in trees. But, you know, some of the main takeaways that I think we've learned on this project that we can apply going forward is, you know, we just talked a couple minutes ago about the importance of pedestrian movements, you know, and creating those dedicated spaces maybe outside of that traditional right-of-way, how important that is to people. Same with creating these open space opportunities. You know, these developments don't always have to be about extracting the most sellable commercial value out of the land, but, you know, really creating those opportunities for the community to come together, enjoy a neighborhood, enjoy a little bit of nature. I think a mix of housing options and the placement of those options and the connectivity between these neighborhoods to different amenities in the neighborhood, I think that's critical. Heartwood Preserve has a mix of, you know, large estate lots, some more urban housing developments like townhomes, you know, attached homes, alley-loaded neighborhoods, and thinking through how those different neighborhoods connect to each other, connect to the commercial areas, whether it be through sidewalks and some of these trails that we talked about, the greenways. That's really important for us to consider moving forward. And then just really one of the most important overarching things is, you know, there could be opportunities in some of these projects where it's appropriate to shake up the status quo a little bit. And maybe deviating from the status quo doesn't always work. But sometimes we need to challenge ourselves to deviate from the standard to maybe do something special or just do something that nobody really considered before. To be able to have those conversations as a design team or with, you know, the different stakeholders or, you know, reviewing agencies and, hey, here's kind of what the vision is. Here's what we want to do. How can we all work together to kind of navigate these situations and collaborate together to get something kind of unique, you know, approved and executed?
So before we wrap, Joe, what I want to do with this last question is I want to bring it back to you, in part because this podcast is a way to highlight the people of Lamprey-Nearson and the individual contributions. And so what I really want to know from you is, what does it mean to you personally to have this project that has been so collaborative and challenging and innovative and outside of the box? What does it mean to you personally to have it recognized with an Engineering Excellence Award?
So for me personally, I live in the area. I enjoy the amenities, like I mentioned before. I run the trails a couple times a week. I enjoy the restaurants. Heartwood Preserve's right across the street from our Omaha office. It's a really cool development. As more buildings build out there, it's going to be even cooler. This award, though, I'm always going to go back to our team. This award's a recognition for them. Getting the opportunity to work on a 500-acre mixed-use project, that's rewarding on its own, just due to its scale and all the different components of the development. But, you know, just getting to show up to work every day and get to work with, you know, my colleagues here to solve these problems, to have those opportunities for collaboration, that's what makes this project and many of these projects special for me. Like I said before, we've had a ton of people at Lamprey-Nearson been involved in Heartwood Preserve through the years. I really want them to be proud of their work and the effort that they put into making this development happen, you know, and I hope this award was a small, you know, reinforcement to our team that, you know, they really accomplished something that has a positive impact now and in the future on the Omaha metro area.
Joe, thank you. Thanks for sharing the story behind Heartwood Preserve. Thank you for highlighting your team and just how important the team is to our ongoing success. And congratulations to you and the team for the well-deserved recognition for this award. To our listeners, I want to say thank you for joining us on Legacy Listening. At Lamprey-Nearson, we believe that the best work is done with intention and with heart. And what I hope you've heard today is this collaboration, this intentionality, this purpose, drawing our team together and being able to work together to have a community-changing impact really resonates with our people. So if today's story inspired you, share this episode, follow the show, and keep your eyes open for the legacy being built around you every day. Until next time, I'm Dave McIver. Let's keep building with purpose and leading with heart.